And just so grateful for the prayers that so many of you offer and provide here in this church. So, what's in a name? This is part two. We're going to be looking today at the Everlasting Father, the name Everlasting Father. I'd like to start, first of all, by engaging you a little bit in one of my favorite movies. You know, it's amazing how, even at my age, getting a little long in the tooth, how children's movies still have such a draw, such an attraction. My five-year-old granddaughter, Avalon, and I, whenever she comes over, we always head for the loft where I have a flat screen up there, and we usually sit there and we have some kind of snack to eat, and we watch a movie together. Our favorite, generally, is the movie Prince of Egypt, if any of you have watched Prince of Egypt. But that's one of her favorites that she loves to watch with Papa. But for those of you that remember this movie, many of you have seen this delightful movie, Finding Nemo. So many of our children's movies have so much meaning for us older people that have somehow lost that child within us that Jesus said should still be present. It's a powerful story. It's the story of the love and the determination of a very caring father. It's a story of being lost and then being found. It's a story that can help us, I think, to understand the love of the Father for his children. In the movie, if you remember, how many of you remember the father's name in this movie? Do you remember? Anybody? Anything you want to? Marlin, yeah. Yeah, Nemo's father, Marlin, loved him very much. And he watched over Nemo every day. He protected him from all of the different dangers that sort of lurked under the sea. And Nemo and his father had this special relationship. Not only were they father and son, but they were just best of friends. And one day, Nemo decided to disobey. We all remember, right, what happened to Nemo. And Nemo decided that he was going to swim beyond the reef. His father was very specific with him. Do not swim beyond the reef. And he was scooped up by a diver, and he was taken away. His disobedience, doing the opposite of what his father asked him to do, it caused him to be separated from the father that he loved so much. And there was nothing that could be done to get them back united. He ended up, do you remember where he ended up? He ended up in a fish tank in a dentist's office, of all places. And his situation seemed pretty hopeless. But Nemo's father, you remember Nemo's father. Marlin decided that he was going to do something about it. Nemo's father loved him so much that it didn't matter how big the ocean was, he was determined that he was going to rescue Nemo. And so he set out on this incredible adventure to seek out and to save his son. Eventually, word of the incredible journey reached Nemo's ears. And if you remember, Nemo was so thrilled to learn of his father's love and his search for him that he took an amazing leap of faith, right? You remember that leap of faith? He jumped right out of the fish tank down the drain that fed into the ocean. It was an incredible ending, right? It was one of those feel-good endings. It was an they all lived happily ever after kind of ending. Nemo was saved. He was reunited with his father, Marlin, to be together forever. In Isaiah chapter 9, we've been looking at this amazing chapter that was written some 700 years before before the time of Jesus, the time of the Messiah. It says in Isaiah chapter 9 that you and I have an everlasting Father, which means, I want you to hear this morning, which means that you will never, ever be alone. Do you know that? You will never be orphans, according to Scripture. Not ever, not in this life and not into eternity. You have, according to Isaiah chapter 9, you have a faithful, forever Father in Jesus Christ. And I think that all of us, every single child here today, every young person here today, every adult, both young and old, I think we all need to hear and to experience found in this chapter, in Isaiah chapter 9. If you've been with us, you know that God couldn't wait to tell his people about the coming of Christmas. 700 years beforehand, he foretold that Jesus' story by choosing a prophet by the name of Isaiah to tell the people during that time, in that day and age, that there would be this amazing baby that would be born one day. These are the words that George Frederick Handel, some of you know the name George Frederick Handel. I grew up in a musician's family. I was very close to another musician who was close to my mother. George Frederick Handel took these words and made them famous. He immortalized these words forever in his majestic Hallelujah chorus. You're familiar with that, aren't you? And so this morning, I thought it would be good, since everyone usually stands for the Hallelujah chorus, I want to invite all of you to stand together. And we're going to read. Hopefully you can see those words okay. You may have to put on your glasses like I had to this morning. So let's all stand. Let's read these verses together. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. You shall increase their gladness. They will be glad in your presence. For a child will be born to us. A son will be given to us. And the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness. From then on and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. Thank you. You may be seated. And that child, says the prophet Isaiah, that child will be the light of the world. And the birth of that child will be the birth of good news for everyone. Christmas is the celebration of God's promise being fulfilled to those people who heard it and to the people of today. And that news came first, you remember, to a bunch of shepherds who literally were out sitting in darkness, keeping watch and waiting, when suddenly an angel appeared and announced, "I've got really great news." So here's the thing, and this is what I want you to hear from me this morning. God is moving. God is at work right now, right here. The one that you have been waiting for, the one that you have been hoping for, the one that you have been longing for has come. I've got good news of great joy, news that will make your life. And this good news, it's for all people. It's for anyone who has ever waited. It's for anyone who has ever hoped. It's for anyone who has ever loved It's for anyone who has ever longed for something really great to happen. For anyone and everyone, Isaiah says, there is good news. And that news is for you and it's for me. And this morning, I suspect that a lot of us need to hear good news, don't we? Because we're surrounded in this world by so much uncertainty. We are constantly bombarded with so much bad news. Because at one time or another, all of us know what it's like the shepherds, to be waiting in the darkness. The fact that Christmas comes in the middle of winter when the days are short and there's more darkness, much more darkness than there is light, it makes sense to me, because sometimes it is in the dark of night that we can best appreciate the light of the glory of God. How many of you have been waiting? I've got a picture here that I like. It looks like this dear woman has just kind of given up and gone to sleep. She's been waiting for much too long. Sometimes in the midst of our waiting, it is in the midst of that place in the darkness when we can best hear the good news that the angel proclaimed. Maybe this Christmas 2022, some of you will be waiting for news. Maybe some of you are even waiting in the darkness this morning, living with the fear that the news won't be good. I know this past year, some of you have been waiting in hospital rooms, in doctor's offices, waiting for a prognosis, waiting for a test result to come back. Some of you have been waiting to hear, maybe from a bank, about your financial situation, or maybe about the wherewithal of your home. Or maybe it's a job interview that you've gone to, and this morning you're really worried about how you're going to survive and how you're going to provide for the needs of your family. Some of you maybe are waiting for someone in your life to finally come home. Some of you are just longing and waiting for a relationship to be restored. Some of you are waiting, just longing for a wonderful counselor we spoke about last week. Some of you are longing for a mighty God. Some of you are wanting an everlasting Father. Some of you are really needing to experience the Prince of Peace. As we approach this Christmas, as we are waiting and hoping for so many things, I must confess, I don't know exactly what you are waiting for. But God does. God knows. And I know that no matter where you are waiting, no matter where it is that you are waiting in your life, or what you are waiting for, there is good news. Because unto us, a child, a Savior has been born. A Savior who has been promised to bring healing and comfort. A Savior who has promised to walk beside you no matter how crazy this world gets. A forever faithful Father who has promised to bring the ultimate healing of an eternal life with Him. Life that is free from fear. Life that is free from pain. Life that is even free from death itself. And the government, it says the government, and not only the government, I'd like to suggest all of your worries, all of the stress and worry that you carry on your shoulders, it will be on His shoulders. And He is able to meet every need that you will ever face. And He has promised in Jeremiah 29 to give you a future and a hope. He has promised to give you the grace that will sustain you in times when you feel like you don't have the strength to carry on. last Sabbath, again, we talked about why he is called a wonderful counselor and what that means in our lives. The wisdom, the empathy. He understands us. He gets us. And this week, we are going to discover why he is called an everlasting father. And primarily, this message will be a heart message. It's a message that will warm your heart to a faithful forever father. And he will be called everlasting father, Isaiah says, which is really amazing. All the titles that are given to the Messiah, to this Christ child, this is the one that is really counterintuitive. This one really raises questions. After all, how can a baby be an everlasting father? How can a newborn be so old as to be called everlasting? What do you make of that? It's a tough name to wrap ourselves around. But I think the secret is found in the name itself. If you go back to the original Hebrew language, here are some interesting facts. In the Hebrew, the word translated everlasting father is Aviad. In the middle of that child's name, the Hebrew word combination, Avi and Ad, speaks of an everlasting father. It speaks of the true character of the Messiah who will come to rescue his children. Aviad combines the word Avi, which is father, and the word Ad, which means perpetual and continuing and no end. Often this second word, Ad, is usually combined with Olam, which means forever and ever, everlasting or eternal. You see, behind this name is the truth that we can trust in the character and the promises of God. Ad is the context for trusting God. I can trust him as a forever father because he is faithful. His promises are irrevocable. His love is safe and it is secure. I so want to believe that, don't you? I so want to fully grasp it. There are so many times when life throws me a curve. I face circumstances that throw this in doubt. Now, far too often, I don't know about you, but I'm left with the question, God, why should I trust you? Far too often, I, like the shepherds, find myself walking in darkness. The name Aviad provides a solution to the problem. Aviad tells us just why we trust him. When Isaiah uses the term Aviad, he is not employing some special technical or theological term. He is using a word that anchors God's actions and his promises directly into the center of family life, right where Christ is born. This child, the one who is Aviad, he comes to us in the most ordinary way. But he comes with this mantle. He carries this mantle, not just of a forever father, but of a faithful forever father. With all the responsibilities, the obligations, and the abilities that belong to the father of all mankind. This child born in Bethlehem will be recognized, Isaiah says, as an everlasting father. He had no beginning, and he will have no end. He existed before the earth was, and he will exist forevermore. What did God have in mind when he gave him this title? I mean, what did he want for us to imagine when he announced 700 years before it happened? Better yet, what difference does this name mean to my life? People were living in scary and uncertain times when Isaiah gave that prophecy. The people of God desperately needed something to cling to. And my question to you this morning is, are you in that same place? Are you needing something to cling to? people in uncertain times needed something to depend on. They needed even a hero father of sorts. So God promised both in his Son. The first part says, the one who is coming is everlasting. He is eternal. He has always existed and he always will. If you wonder about this, let's go to a passage of scripture during the life of Jesus. One day, some religious leaders questioned Jesus on a number of counts. I mean, they're out after him. They're not coming with good intentions. And they questioned Jesus about his authority, and they questioned him about his origin, right? I mean, who? What good can come out of Nazareth? They questioned him about his motives. I mean, this was a fairly ugly conversation. And so Jesus steps into this conversation, and in an effort to try to lighten things up, Jesus says, whoa, guys. Just be happy that I'm here. He says, after all, your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing this day. He saw it and was glad. Let's look for a moment at John chapter 8. See what he's saying there? I knew all about Abraham. In fact, I was with Abraham. Can you imagine how that was heard from the religious leaders of the day? And they pounce on that and they say, hold on, you're not even 50 years old. And yet you've seen Abraham? That's verse 57. And here Jesus comes with this bold statement. A statement that most of us don't recognize the power and the meaning in it. Jesus says in John 8:58, I tell you the truth, before Abraham was born, I am. To understand the staggering statement, you have to understand the great I am is the same name that God used when he spoke and revealed himself to Moses. It's an amazing title if you think about it. Because when you go to describe God, the most accurate statement you can make about God is, he is. He exists fully, everywhere, at all times. He always was. He always will be. He is today. He is fully existent. He is. So Jesus makes this statement boldly. He says, I am. He says, I am not only older than Abraham, I have existed forever. I am God himself. What a claim. He is eternal. He has always existed. He always will exist. He is an everlasting Father. He is our faithful forever Father. The other important part that we see in this name, Aved, is the phrase Father. His Son was born as a child, but look at it. When Jesus grew up, he became a father to many. He cared for people like a father does. He nurtured people like a father does. He prayed for people like a father does. He protected his children, those who could not protect themselves like a father does. He was there for people. He was strong and dependable like a father. See, fathers, if they are to be anything in the lives of their children, they ought to do certain things. They ought to provide certain things. They need to hold certain places in their lives. For instance, fathers ought to believe in their children. If you look carefully at the life of Jesus, the teachings of Jesus, study his life, you'll find someone who faithfully, relentlessly, passionately believes in people. Fathers ought to be firm but loving. Jesus was very firm with the religious leaders, and he was very loving with those who recognize their need. Fathers ought to provide a place out of which their children can form an identity. I am a spire. I come from a long line of spires. We know who we are. We are spires. That's who I am. Our identity is rooted in the person of Jesus. And the beauty is, and here's just the gospel in a nutshell, the beauty is everything that happened to Jesus, God considers it as happening to us. I want to say that one more time, just in case you missed me. The gospel is this: everything that happened to Jesus, his life, his death, his resurrection, his righteousness, his purity, his future, God considers it as having happened to me. We can celebrate this morning that our salvation story is found, is wrapped up in the doing and the dying and the resurrection of Jesus, an everlasting Father. Loving fathers think about and plan for their children's future, right? John 14:1, we read it this morning. Jesus said, "I am going to prepare a place for you." Jesus has you on his mind when he prepares for the future. He's described as an everlasting Father. He has the power to transform any heart, to restore any relationship. And even if your relationship with a father was filled with hurt and pain and disappointment, this everlasting Father will be able to restore you, to bring healing to you, to make you part of his family, bound together by a love, Romans 8 tells us, a love that nothing can separate us from. And so no matter what you're waiting for, no matter how dark it is in your life right now, I've got good news. A child is born. A son is given. A Savior has come. You see, there is a faithful forever Father who is so in love with you that he couldn't imagine ever living life without you. And so he came. I love the way Eugene Peterson says it in John chapter 1 of his The Message paraphrase. He says, he came to pitch his tent right next to ours. I like that for those of you that enjoy camping. He came to bring his light into your darkness. He came to meet you in all the places where you wait, where you hope, where you long. He came to give hope and love and joy a face. You see, this baby in the manger, he is the connecting link between me and God, the one who created the universe. And when we look at the face of this baby, as we imagine it in our mind's eye during this Christmas season, Jesus is the very face of God. So that's the good news of Christmas. That is what we celebrate this season. To us, a Savior has been born. And the promise is that he's never going to leave us. He will never forsake us. And here's the truth. I hope this is good news to all of you, like it is to me this morning. The truth is, you don't have to clean up your life to get ready for his arrival. Because he promises to come to you just as you are and not as you should be. In whatever condition that you find yourself, whatever it is that you are waiting for this Christmas season. He promises to come to you and come to me, no matter how dark the night currently is for you. He comes to meet us in all of our hopes and all of our fears, and he promises to take them away. And that's the good news. That's the good news of great joy that will be to all people. And this Christmas season, I don't want you to miss that. I don't want you to walk by and miss the very thing that brings us such joy. This Christmas, do what the shepherds did so long ago. Come, step out of the darkness, whatever darkness is around you right now, and see for yourself. See in this little infant a faithful, forever Father. Because it is news that will change your life forever. Let's sing again.